Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We're live here and learning more about what's happening around the country and around Vermont. As we get accustomed to new rules, new ideas about how much we need to stay home, and new orders. Joining us now to talk about the federal response is Vermont Congressman Peter Welch. Congressman Welch, thank you for coming directly from the governor's press conference and being willing to speak with us today. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, you know, it was interesting to hear you talk because I'm sure you didn't hear our show yesterday with the labor commissioner. But one thing we heard over and over again from Vermonters was, what do I do if I'm self-employed? What do I do if I'm an independent contractor? What do I do if I'm not eligible for, according to the traditional rules of unemployment insurance? What do I do and how am I going to survive? Can you talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the federal package as it's shaping up that might apply to that kind of worker?
Well, I'm really, really happy that those folks are going to be taken care of. I mean, so many people do work as independent contractors, and so many people work in the gig economy, and they're self-employed. In the past, they've not been eligible for unemployment benefits. Under this legislation, they're included. And they can't go to work. They have to do their part for social distancing. We've got this situation where to deal with the health crisis, protect the families that we love, our neighbors that we care about. We've got all social distance, and that has a huge economic impact on everybody. But those self-employed folks and the independent contractors never had access to unemployment benefits, so now they will. And in this legislation, they get up to really with at least $600 just from this federal legislation that would be available for 4 months.
$600 per week?
Yes.
For up to 4 months. Okay.
Now, yeah, folks who are in the unemployment system here could get up to $500 in their state unemployment. We're supplementing that federally with $600. And that is independent of whether you're an independent contractor or a self-employed person. You'd get that help from unemployment. And that obviously is essential because most people in Vermont are paycheck to paycheck. And if they can't work, even if it's a small business where the small business would like to keep paying them, the small businesses are shuttered. They don't have any revenue coming in. So we really have to have the federal government as the backstop here. And that's the partnership that I think we need absolutely for Vermonters. We've got to have the federal government playing its role. And that is really to be the economic contributor to this situation. It's the only place where there's some capacity to do that. And then at the state, of course, Governor Scott is leading the effort on the health response with the social distancing that is unfortunate but necessary.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. In the Vermont VPR Vermont PBS poll that we conducted a couple months ago now, it feels like a lifetime ago, 60% of Vermonters said they couldn't afford an unexpected $1,000 expense. And, you know, boy, I think
that's
almost
right.
Every Vermonter now is facing that potential. And to see so many people so worried about it all at once is, it's, you know, alarming and scary, but, you know, here's the federal government coming in. And so just to clarify what you're saying, Congressman, this $600 that would be available to people, whether they're independent contractors or self-employed, or whether they're out of a job at a bigger company, essentially, there'd be $600 from the federal government potentially coming per week to any of those people.
Right.
And then if you're eligible for unemployment insurance through the state, that would be in addition to the federal money that might come your way. So the idea is to make people as close to whole as possible.
That's right. And, you know, there's a lot of talk in the bill about a one-time check, let's say $1,200, and the details of are being worked out. And there will be a one-time check if things proceed as they are now. But think about it. If you're a family, you're making $50,000 a year. A lot of Vermonters in that category, that one check is 1 week. That's all that is. And what do you do the second week and the third week? And you have described the economic situation for most people where an unanticipated expense, you know, $500, kids need braces, there's an injury.
Car dies.
Your car dies. That really, really sets you back. And the reason the economic support from the federal government is absolutely so essential is this. Every single one of us is worried about the virus. You can't see it, but it's rising. It's around us. We have to take these steps. And we're scared somewhat for ourselves, but we're really scared somebody we love is going to get it. And that's enough anxiety. But if, in addition to that, you just show up and the doors where you work are closed, and you've been a long-time great employee, it helped pay your bills, it helped give you emotional satisfaction to be at work with friends and colleagues, and suddenly you've got the anxiety of, how do I pay the rent? How do I pay the car repair bill? The fuel truck's pulling up, and what am I going to do? That anxiety is brutal, and it really weighs people down. So my view is, this is a time when we've just got to step up and we've got to go big. I mean, the more we do now on the public health front and on the economic recovery front, the more we do now, the sooner we'll get to the other side with a healthy population and a revived economy. But we are in uncharted territories. But my rule is, too much too soon is a lot better than too little too late.
Yeah, I heard you saying that the other day, too, and it's an interesting way to think about it. And I want to talk to you more about these money questions, but I also want to get out of the way and let Vermonters ask you some questions that they have. Richard is on the line with us from West Fairley. Hi, Richard. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you, Congressman Welch, for all that you guys are doing. I'm a disabled Vermonter with my wife is disabled as well. We live on SSI disability. Is there going to be any type of monies allocated for disabled Vermonters? Thank you very much. I'm going to take my call up here.
Thanks for the call, Richard. Did you get that, Congressman Welch? What about disabled Vermonters?
I did. Well, the disability programs that we have will continue. But I don't believe there is a specific supplement to what the existing programs are for disabled Vermonters. I'll check on that. But I think that what you have, you'll keep. But there won't be supplements in the stimulus package.
Robert has a question from Essex. Robert, go right ahead.
Yes. I happened to see an article in Vermont Digger that indicated that Vermonters with student loans through VSAC may be affected by this whole business because they're not through the direct federal loan program. They're through the bond market. And they are offering, apparently, forbearance on loans, but I believe interest accumulates. I guess it's up to 2 years they're offering. I'm wondering if there's anything in this new bill that would help lenders like VSAC make adjustments or forgiveness for student loans.
Robert, thanks for the question, Congressman.
There's going to be, I think, loan forbearance. People can't be getting late fees and those brutal late fees on their credit card, their auto loan, and that applies obviously to student loans. But I don't know what the current state is about specific relief for students. Just on that question, we really should be allowing total refinancing for all student loans. You know, the federal government now borrows at less than 1%, and a lot of those student loans are 7%, 8%, and that's brutal. So forbearance is one thing, but bottom line, probably not as part of this package, but those interest rates, the students should be allowed to renegotiate them and their parents and refinance them, in effect, and come down to like the government rate of 1% rather than the 7 or 8%.
Let's go to Tom, who's in Barnard. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to mention the problem with personal protective equipment that our hospitals are facing today and the lack of medical supplies and medication. In 2004, the last penicillin factory shut down in the United States. And today, we rely on China for 90% of generic drugs, 80% of active pharmaceutical ingredients, and many medical supplies, including N95 masks. Prestige Ameritech is the only U.S.-based manufacturer of medical-grade N95 masks. And pre-pandemic, they supplied approximately 7% of U.S. demand. What is this something that is on your radar, Congressman Welch? Did you know about it before this pandemic? And what are you doing to bring home our supply chains for critical medicines and medical supplies?
You're absolutely right about that. I was aware of the generic manufacturing largely being based in China, and I wasn't aware of the fact that all the personal protective gear and those N95 masks were produced over there. And this is a wake-up call for all the reasons you said. We are totally vulnerable to the supply chain for items that are critical to our own well-being. So we've put ourselves in an extremely precarious position. And I do believe this now is a topic of conversation in Congress. How do we have the capacity to produce our own generics? How do we have the capacity to produce our own essential medical equipment and not put ourselves in a vulnerable spot, particularly to a country like China, which is at best a frenemy? I mean, they're not necessarily rushing to get those masks over here. They're hoarding them for themselves. So Congress, I do believe our Republicans and Democrats are going to be addressing this because it is the problem you describe.
Let's go to another call here. Joseph is with us from Eden's Mills. Hi, Joseph.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
I was just wondering, there's a lot of Vermont workers who work under the table who are elderly. And I was wondering if there would be anything for people who either A, started working in the last 6 months, so they don't have a previous record, or B, are off the books, per se.
What do you think, Congressman?
I don't think... I know you're right, but I don't think there is, because the provisions in there that are a huge expansion for folks who are self-employed or independent contractors, I think is going to be based on their income from 2019. So how do you calculate what it is somebody made? And I don't believe we've come up with a way to address that situation that you described, and I know many Vermonters are in.
Yeah, similarly, in some ways, Gordon in the Northeast Kingdom says, I'm a volunteer driver for people who are elderly and disabled. I get compensated for mileage only, and thus I don't file a tax return. I feel like I'm going to slip through the cracks. Am I?
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but, you know, that volunteer activity is incredibly important. He wasn't getting paid before, but he probably has more expenses now. But that particular situation, where I think there are a lot of Vermonters who are doing incredibly important volunteer activity. I mean, if he weren't driving, those folks wouldn't get to the doctor appointments.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we have that in the bill now. But I appreciate him bringing that to my attention. And we'll look into it with Senator Leahy and Senator Sanders.
Yeah, thanks, Congressman Welch. It's interesting to think about that. It's not that they're getting paid for their volunteer work, but it's not costing them if they can get reimbursed for the mileage. And so, you know, do we run the risk of actually lowering this kind of volunteerism, which may be even more needed now? So thank you for that.
Well, you would. Sure, you would, because, you know, people, it's expensive to be driving your car and putting the wear and tear on it. And it's a really good deal for folks where volunteers are willing to do it for mileage only. So that's a really good point. And in fact, it goes into this challenge we have of trying to help out our nonprofits. There are a lot of nonprofits in Vermont that are doing great jobs. Some of our artistic houses, like the Weston Playhouse, like the Flynn Theater, okay, they're dark. They're not able to put on their programs. And we want them to return to activity as soon as possible. So there's a lot of interest in trying to figure out how do we help out our nonprofits.
Speaking of nonprofits, Mickey Myers is the executive director of the Bryan Memorial Gallery in Jeffersonville. And he says, as the executive director of a Vermont nonprofit, which qualifies as a small business, I question what to expect from the upcoming congressional, quote, bailout. Do we continue to issue paychecks for employees working at home and then expect to be reimbursed? Or do we have our employees file for unemployment and cease work altogether? Has anyone issued a time frame as to when the enhanced unemployment goes into effect? Would it be retroactive? retroactive. And Congressman, we're hearing from a lot of people who say, I don't know what is better for my business or my employees. Keep them on the books, continue to pay them, but expect some kind of reimbursement or some kind of payment from the government, or furlough or fire them so they can get unemployment. And, you know, maybe they'll be better off that way. What's your advice?
Right. I've been getting that question from a lot of the small business owners that I've been talking to. We don't know the answer to that. But what I appreciate about the question is they're asking, is it better for my employees and for the state of Vermont if folks who work for me go on unemployment, or we get a small business grant and keep them on the payroll? And the reason I can't answer it yet is because aside from passing the legislation in order to appropriate the money to allow that to happen, protect the employees and the small businesses, we're going to have to write some rules. And that's where what I hope we'll get to in fairly short order is a side-by-side. So each small employer can figure that out and decide, look, option A, unemployment, is better for my employees and for my enterprise, or option B, the grant, is better. I don't know the answer, but that's the right question. And the implementation challenges are going to be significant. But keep in mind, we're passing this astonishing, I hope we're going to be passing this astonishing $2 trillion rescue package in a week.
Yeah.
So there are going to be a lot of questions, and we're going to work as hard as we can, but I'm going to ask folks also to be patient and give us feedback.
We got a note from Rabia in Norwich who says, will there be additional money through food stamps? Groceries are becoming more expensive as they become scarce during the pandemic.
Yes. We're supplementing the nutrition program, and that question is exactly right. And in fact, all of the studies show that if you provide unemployment benefits, supplement them, you supplement nutrition benefits for kids and also for seniors. That is extremely not only necessary, but helpful in the revival of the economy. So there is more money for nutrition programs, both for children and families and also for seniors.
How much more money? Do you have a sense?
I don't know exactly right now, but in the second bill that we passed, which was about $100 billion, we not only provided some additional money, but we relaxed a lot of the rules associated with the food stamps. You know, we eliminated the work requirements. How do you work when there's no jobs and businesses are closed? We eliminated the requirement for students that they could only get the meal at school. And in fact, I think our state, Governor Scott's talking about this, is having the buses deliver the meals to mm-hmm. the kids along the route.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of focus on that in Congress. And I think it's going to make a difference. And I'm glad to hear Vermonters being concerned about it.
Let's go to Charlotte, who's calling in from Glover. Hi, Charlotte. Go right ahead.
Hi. My question is the House and Senate working to set up plans should either branch be affected strongly by the virus and in order to carry on business?
We are discussing that. You know, the big question for us is about voting. Right now, this week, the Senate is in session, and I think there's like five members who are not able to attend because they're in self-quarantine or they're actually being treated for the virus. And they're there. So they're maintaining social distance on the floor and elsewhere. We've got a big decision. You know, it looks like the Senate is going to vote this afternoon on yes or no on this a $2 trillion package. The next step will be the House has to vote. And there's discussion about can we vote absentee or from afar. I don't think we can, even if it's a good idea, but we've got rules that are obligate us to show up to vote. And even if we wanted to change those, we'd have to show up to vote to change them. But there's a lot of discussion about how can we come together. And keep in mind, 435 people living in 435 different parts of the country. So we're bringing with us whatever, you know, whatever's in Vermont, I'm bringing it. My colleague across the lake, Elise Stefanik, will be bringing whatever's there. So there's a lot of apprehension about how this will, how we'll work this out. But I don't see a way around showing up to vote.
You know, we've also been hearing that Senator Rand Paul tested positive, has been confirmed to have COVID-19, and that he was still showing up at government events and on the floor in the days between when he was tested and when he found out that he had the illness. You know, we're being asked as Vermonters to stay home, to not go to work, to not infect others if we think we could be sick. And it's hard to see the federal government perhaps not following the same guidelines.
No, I agree, and I think that he should have followed. It would be much better if he followed protocol and stayed home until he got the test results.
Did you want to say more, or was that it?
No, I mean that's it. The only way this is going to work is if each of us does our part. And you know, it's a very strange thing because it's not like you can see it. I was just talking to Governor Scott, and he was talking about how after Irene. You know, anybody with a backhoe or a pickup truck or a shovel could get out there and start helping. There was visible damage that was done, and the desire people had to help, they could just do it, and they could do it without fear that anything bad would happen to them, for the most part. And we did. But this is much more invisible, and it's not like you can have a full frontal assault on it. You actually have to stay away from your neighbors, your friends, in some cases even your family, in order to not allow the virus to affect you. And you've got to wash your hands. You've got to do those sanitary things. But all of us doing it together is the only way we ultimately protect each other and protect ourselves. So, you know, the state's not, the way the governor is describing it, going to have a heavy hand of enforcement here. But it depends on each of us as citizens appreciating that, hey, if I do it, I'm going to help others. And if they do it, they're going to help me.
Congressman, do you want Vermonters to still be contacting your office if they're confused or alarmed? I mean, do you want people
Absolutely.
To sort of so not wait and, you know, information is coming fast. We'll get to you, but call you.
Absolutely. What we're doing in the office, and, you know, it's tough for everybody, but they've set up a system where if you call, you'll get a voicemail, all right? But then we will, through this, whatever the network is, we get the voicemail right away, and one of my staff will do their best to get back to you, or I'll get back to you. And I've been doing a lot of conference calls, like the Vermont Business for Social Responsibility. They had about 80 people on a call, and I was able to tell them what I know and answer some of the questions. And I've been doing that pretty regularly. But yes, call. I work for you. And this is a kind of overtime situation. So all in.
Great. And, you know, the congressman likes to wear his Red Sox cap when he's doing his calls. And so they may show up on the conference calls as well. Congressman Peter Welch, thanks very much for taking the time to talk with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.